Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians 11, I'd like to read verses 1 through verse number 16. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through verse number 16. The Bible said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is man, the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one, as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." Why is this passage in the Bible? Why is it there? It's odd, is it not, that the passage was written to a Gentile church? It's written to Corinthians, right? What I want to do tonight, because I've been asked to do this, I want to preach to you about the head covering. But I started in the middle of the topic. I really did. I started reading in the middle of the topic. I did not start reading at the very beginning of the topic. Let's look, if you would, the book of 1 Corinthians. It's a good book. I think until this is understood, there's going to be some misconceptions. Let's go back in chapter 1. This must be understood. Because if it's not understood, then there are some difficulties. Paul starts out in chapter 1, verse number 1, and I don't want to read his whole thing. So we're going to kind of skim through the first few chapters. The Bible said here, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the Word of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now that's kind of how he starts out. But notice what else he gets into. In verse number 10, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. That there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Why does he say that? Notice. What Paul is doing is making an introduction to the book of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. That's what he's doing. They have some difficulties that they have at Corinth that they've written him about. All right? In verse number 11. The Bible said, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." Oh. Boy, this house of Chloe. Boy, they're a troublemaker, aren't they? I don't think so. They wrote to Paul asking him about this in verse number 12. "Now this I say." Here's a matter, and this what the problem in the church at Corinth is that people are bragging on men and not on Christ. Now that is that's the whole thing. Somebody says, "I finally got a friend." Let me tell you something. If you don't have a friend of Christ, you don't have anything. That's the truth. But this is a church. A church at Corinth. The Bible said, "One of you saith, I'm of Paul, I'm Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and I'm Christ." Look what he says. Is Christ divided? He wants the people to be joined together following Christ and nothing else. Alright? Notice. He said in verse 13, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" No. I mean, we are followers of Christ. Right? That is right. Every one of us are going to stand before God and give account to Him for everything we've ever done. For all those people we've influenced in the wrong way. Whoa! I'm not influencing anybody in the wrong way. Okay. We'll see what God says about that. Because that's when it counts. Notice. Paul goes on and he talks about how that he is supposed to be doing only what God wants him to do. There's a lot of different people in this congregation. Who is your favorite? I hope you answered Christ. That was not a trick question. He is here, right? All right. Christ is here. We ought to serve Him more than anything else. Look in chapter number 2. And this is going to be a real quick rundown of this. Notice in verse 1. Paul explains that when he first came to Corinth, that he came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. What Paul had on his mind, that he wanted these Corinthians to understand one very vital fact. That is that Christ is the head of it all. We're not. I've said that in your presence a bunch of times. I'll just add this to the list. I am nothing at all. Christ is everything. Nobody else is. Christ is where it's all at. Notice in verse number 2, Paul said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." This is Paul's desire. All right? Notice that Paul did not declare that baptism was important. I think it is. In its place, church membership or good works. But Paul is saying that Christ is more important than any of them. That's what he's saying. Why? Verse number 4 through verse number 6, he tells us why. That he wants their faith to be in what God is doing, not what they are doing. All right? Let's read that. And my speech, my preaching, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That, this is Paul's desire for this people. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Look in chapter 3. Paul continues his introduction. Chapter 3. Paul is not answering their questions yet. They had written to Paul with a whole list of stuff, but he's not answering them, not yet. He's still giving an introduction. Notice what he says in verse number 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, look what he says. And I, brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. You say, oh, boy, they're just a bad bunch of people. Be careful. I was told years ago, I remember it, don't ever point your finger at somebody. You know why? Because some of them pointing back. Like a gun going to go off. Don't be accusing anybody. See? The Bible said in verse number 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you're not able to bear it, either. Yet now are you able. Paul is telling these people, you're not able to bear it. I cannot feed you with meat. I've got to give you examples and build up to it, to the point. Okay? Look in chapter 4, chapter 3, verse number 4. In this place, Paul refers right back to chapter number 1, where he says, and while one saith, I'm a Paul, another, I'm a Apollos, are you not carnal? You see, these people were following men, not God. That's the issue. That's the issue. So my question is this, who are you following? The man, you're going to fall. You need to follow Christ. We need to follow Christ. That's why Paul says in chapter number 3, in verse number 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. See, what Paul wants these Corinthians to do is to serve God, to follow God, to put God. He's the one that's supposed to be worshiping and serving, nobody else. That's it. Anytime you serve anybody, anytime you follow anybody's advice except God's advice, you're following the wrong one. That's the way it is. What if I give advice? So, you need to follow God's advice. Every person that's saved is responsible to God, and you need to follow God alone. nobody else. That's what he's teaching. Chapter 4 and verse number 1 through 4. Paul is still not answering their questions. Paul is still bringing them up to a point. He said, "Let a man so account of us as are the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But as for me, it is a very small thing that I should be judge of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord." What's he doing? He's telling the people, always, you need to fix your heart and mind, and you need to do what God wants you to do because you have to account for that. That's what he's saying. Over, how many times has he said that now? Over and over again. I mean, that's what he's saying. You need to find out what God's Word says. It doesn't make a difference if your best friend doesn't agree with it. It doesn't. You've got to do what God wants you to do, period. So I don't know how I'll do it for any friends. Listen. If there's any friend that sticks closer than a brother, it's going to be after Christ. And that's what he's teaching. They need to see that. In verse 14 of this chapter, Paul says, "I write not these things to shame you." Who's he writing to? The Corinthian church? He's not writing to grown-up people. I know they're adults. I know that. But I also know that they're babes in Christ. I don't know how long they've been saved. I have no idea. But Paul says, "I didn't write these things to hurt you." Not at all. "But as my beloved sons, I warn you. We are all going to be judged of God. We got to do what God wants us to do. Period. I mean, that's it." Chapter 5 and chapter 6. This is still introduction. It still is introduction. In verse number 5, look at this. He said, "It is reported commonly among you that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife." This is a horrible thing. He wants these people to understand that they need something. They need the Lord. It's what they need. Think of this. Think of this church of Corinth. If each one of these members had on their mind to only do what God wanted them to do, would that man, having his father's wife, would that man be a member of the church? No. But he was a member. He was not put out. And Paul says, put the man out. In verse number 6, he says, "Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ for Passover is sacrificed for us." It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. When you think about what we've read so far, that here in this church, there's a group of people that are saying, "I'm following Paul. I'm following Cephas," but they got this man in their midst. Isn't it amazing?
I think they fool themselves. Paul brought out all that in the open.
Look in chapter 6. He gets into another point. And he's still, this introduction to this book. In chapter 6, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? In this church, Paul brings out this second point, that they were more comfortable letting a judge, probably a lost man, I don't know that, decide anything for them instead of bringing any issue before the church. These people had gone a long way down the road. They had. You think about it. This church had open depravity in the church, and they would do nothing about it. The church is not supposed to have any kind of preference toward any individual. They're supposed to all follow Christ and Him alone. Brother Ron Chris was here a while back. We kept him at our house. And during the process, during the time we were able to talk to him some, he told about a church that's out in some of the western states. I don't know where it was exactly, but they had a pastor that resigned. He left. And the church went without a pastor for a pretty good while. Over a year. It was not a small church. It was not. Actually, the church had about 300 members. There was preachers in the church. Some of them wanted to be pastor. But the church didn't want them. Finally, the pulpit committee, after they had prayed about it, and they had gone back and forth, they went to a man who was a member of the church and asked him if he would consider being a pastor of the church. That man said, yes. You know what he did? He had his own business. But he sold that business and became pastor of the church. I've heard him preach. He's not a dynamic speaker. He doesn't wave his arms a lot. He doesn't scream and shout. He is like... can't think of the guy's name. He was in Mississippi. And he had a brain tumor and died. I can't think of his name. I can't see him. I can't think of his name. Anyway, this man, he had a monotone. When he got up, boy, you had to pay attention. Or you'd go to sleep. Same thing. It's kind of like this fellow preaches. He's really a... if you listen to what he's got to say, boy, he'll fill you up. He'll really fill you up. Anyway, chapter 7, verse number 1. This is where Paul begins to get into the issues that they have written him about. It's in chapter 7. Boy, Paul was just a long-winded dude, didn't he? No. I mean, he's right on. Now, see what it says in chapter 7, verse 1? Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me. Now, he finally gets down to it. And in chapter 7, he talks about marrying and all of that. Virgins and all of that. In chapter 7, if you want to know any issue, Paul answers it there. In chapter number 8, this is the chapter that begins the discussion about the head covering. This is where it starts. Let me read the first verse. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. What? That's right. Chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, and chapter 11 is about that subject. I know I read chapter 11, verses 1 through 16 first. But I want you to understand that chapter 11, verses 1 through 16 is only a very small part of the entire thing that Paul's talking about. Because what Paul is talking about is things offered unto idols. In chapter 12, Paul gets into another subject. Now you can list these out. This is the third one is in 1 Corinthians number 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren. And he talks about spiritual gifts in chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, and chapter 15. So if you want to know about spiritual gifts, that's a good place to read it. I mean, Paul is telling the people what the Bible has to say. In chapter 16, now concerning the collection for the saints. I will say this about chapter 16. He is not talking about tithes and offerings. I know I heard it was, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, now concerning the collection for the saints. And that's what Paul means. He says in verse number 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whosoever I will, whosoever ye shall approve by your letters, then will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. He's talking about a gift. But there's a lot of things that people have jumped to the conclusion of erroneously because they have not read the book. Sometimes we get hung up on one thing. I've done it, and I know you have. One thing gets hooked in our minds, and boy, there it is. It's kind of like that with this thing. Notice, back in 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, this is the subject. That Paul is talking about. So I don't understand then what Paul is doing. Listen, what Paul is doing in 1 Corinthians 11 is exactly the same thing
than he did in Ephesians 5. It's exactly the same thing. So what did you do in Ephesians 5? In Ephesians 5, Paul had on his mind to talk about the church. He wanted the people to understand about the church. What example did he use to teach about the church? He used the family. Something they already knew about. That's what he's doing here in Corinthians. He's doing the same thing. So don't think that it's anything strange at all. Because it's not. Paul, when he writes in 1 Corinthians 8, I want you to notice some of the things that he does here. As he begins the subject, he's touching things offered to idols. We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge above of that, but charity edifies. But notice what he does in verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse number 9. The Bible said, "But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. So be careful about this. For if any man see thee which hath knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple." This is a plain fact. "Shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through my knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died." Now I read those three verses because he says the same thing in chapter 10 and verse number 26, starting there. In verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 10. What Paul is doing, he is presenting an argument, then he talks about some other things, and he comes back and starts all over again down the same road. Why? So that people will get it. He wants these Corinthians to understand what he's talking about. He says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 25, "Whatsoever sold in the shambles that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof." So don't ask. Because they would take these sacrifices and they would offer to idols, and then they'd take it out and sell it. It's no big deal. As long as the meat's good, eat it. But if a brother is stumbled by it, don't. Alright? Verse number 27. "If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, ask, eat no question for conscience sake." So, to these brothers, they go to a feast, and don't ask if that meat has been offered to idol. Don't ask. Eat it and enjoy it. That's what he's saying. In verse number 28, "But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for the conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." So, you see what Paul is saying? He is working with this subject of what's offered to idols. Notice in 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 14. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 14. This ought to prove to anybody that the subject is not changed. He says, "Therefore, my brother, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." So he wants the people to get away from that altogether. But in chapter 11,
What he's talking about is something that the Corinthians already did. He is not trying to convince them to do a certain thing. But they already do it. Even though they have all this confusion. One saying, I'm a Paul, I'm a Cephas. They have this guy that's committed fornication with his mother's, with his father's wife. They have this other issue of taking people to court. I mean, that's what he's talking about. But understand here. Understand, I see our time is gone, and we'll have to take you something another time. But understand that the argument sometimes that the head covering is nothing at all is false. It is false. I tell you what, this gets us back into the very beginning of this book. Who do you follow? What is it that the Lord wants you to do? That is all that this is about. Is that every person must do what God wants him to do. It'll all work out. Who is our Savior? It is Christ. Who is our leader? It ain't me. It's supposed to be the Lord. If you follow the Lord, if you just do what God wants you to do, that'll take care of everything. That'll take care of it all. Understand that that is so. Well, we'll quit for tonight, but there'll be more coming later on this topic. But you know, several years ago, I wrote on 1 Corinthians 11. I never published that. You know why? You know why? Because Mrs. Tweed had a much better track than I did. Mrs. Ted Tweed. Civi Tweed. It's right over there. She goes through it all. And when I was in the process of writing this up, and I really felt kind of like I was a square peg trying to fit in a round hole because I'm a man. And I don't think it's hardly fitting that I give orders to anybody. But I feel more comfortable talking to the men than to the women. The way it is. And so, whenever she was here and I was talking to her about her, somehow it came up. And she sent me that track. And I said, you care if I print that? She says, you don't care. I said, okay. So there it is. But I want you to understand that
It's God's word that really counts. It's not my idea. It's not yours either. It's whatever God says. Why? Because we're going to stand before God one day in judgment. Well, we need to be right before God. All right. All right. If you're lost tonight, we pray the Lord will touch your heart, knowing that He's the only one that can. He's the only one that will. All right. Stand for good. Brother Tony, there you are. Come and lead the song service, please.